previously on Corporate Homie.
We have a guest in the building, my personal financial advisor and friend, Jared Cohen, on the show. We're going to talk kind of all things money.
There was often times when I would go to them with an account, $150,000, they would tell me no. In general, you don't have to have a lot of money to have an advisor.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie, we are so excited to have the Erica Ward in the building. Erica is like the goddess of interior decorating and design.
My first love has been interior design and architecture, and I got that from my grandpa.
You don't need an interior decorator, you need workers.
What's up, homies?
Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
I'm going to whoop because we have a guest. Whoop, whoop. She doesn't let me whoop. I said a whoop, whoop.
See, can it's I in the wrong
place. Yeah, go ahead, Erica. Yeah, go ahead, Erica. Go
ahead. Oh, I just can't hear a whoop and not whoop back, you know?
Exactly.
It's in your soul. It's in
what? Your soul. So, homies, we are so excited to have the Erica Ward in the building. I feel like Erica and I are longtime homies, although we have never actually met in person, but we've been social media friends. I want to say like 6-7 years or something like that. And Erica is like the goddess of interior decorating and design. She has an amazing eye for just making space feel sophisticated but warm, and, mm-hmm. and someone who strives one day to have their house, you know, an Architectural Digest, although I don't know how I'm going to fulfill that goal. I am drawn to her work tremendously.
So Erica, don't let Demetra fool you. When Demetra bought her house, 8 or 9 years ago, maybe a decade ago now, she had this vision and then hired this interior decorator, but basically she didn't need an interior decorator. She needed people to execute. Not the same thing. Like for me, I'm like, okay, this is the room. What do you see? Demetra's like, what I see is this, this, and this, and this, and I need this, and I want a yellow chair, and I want a, you know, da, 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 da. And I'm like, you don't need an interior decorator. You need workers.
Welcome, Erica. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to get on a call with you guys and to talk to my homies that I haven't met in person yet. You know, it's always like making new friends, you know, with the podcast. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Make new friends, but keep the old ones.
Yeah. Yes. So tell us a little bit about like your story and how you got into interior decorating and having this love for like home and space.
Yeah. So my professional career actually started in corporate. I was an accountant and I would be on these big construction projects. But my first love has been interior design and architecture. And I got that from my grandfather. So he was a registered architect in 3 states. Worked for 30 years for General Services Administration, the government administration, and retired as a chief architect. So I got my love for architecture from him. Now, I come from a family of creatives. My mother's a hairstylist. My grandmother was a school teacher, but just had a real knack for decorating. She's like, Demetra, she doesn't need an interior designer. She needs some executors, right? But that was her. And so, you know, I think about my journey and where I started and where I am now. And I want those out there listening who may be working in the corporate setting but aspiring to do something else. It's just be encouraged in knowing that your skills that you have now are transferable skills that can be used in any industry, right?
And I love that.
Yeah. My formal education is in finance. I have a degree from UGA in finance and a minor in real estate, right? So coming into a creative environment, you also have people, who may not be so much, business inclined or, you know, business minded. They're more creative minded, which is kind of where you probably get the term, a phrase, starving artist, because, you know, they're so passionate about their work, but may not know how to sell themselves or feel uncomfortable with selling themselves. But when you come into the interior design sector as a business owner, because most of us are oftentimes, you know, under, you know, solopreneurs and eventually, you know, start to build our businesses, you wear all those hats. You wear all of the hats. And, you know, you may not always wear the hats well, you know, right. If you don't have that.
Right.
You know, that might be tilted to the side. And that's cool when, you know, hanging out with friends, but you got to have your head on straight.
Right. When you're doing business.
When you're doing business and when you're handling large sums of money like we do for our clients, right?
Mm-hmm. Has the, you know, the, just want to ask a quick question about that. Has the accounting background helped with like budgeting and keeping people? Because I feel like lots of times, even when I'm doing a project, I've learned now from doing a couple projects, like let's say I want to set a budget of $5,000. I'll be like, but let's be prepared to spend, you know, $8,000 because we could go over budget and we could slip. And I've seen a lot of people do things. And so I wonder how your accounting kind of helps people manage their budget and factor stuff like that in.
Yeah. So starting my business, that was the thing that I felt insecure about, not having an interior design degree, right? Having this finance degree instead. But that finance degree has been my biggest asset. Okay.
Really?
And so when I approach a client, like if you and I were working together, we would spend that money on paper first.
Which we will. We will work together. I'm glad that.
Put it out to you first.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Let's put that out there. So we spend that money on paper first, because it's one thing for me to come in and tell you, oh, this is going to be $30,000, $40,000, $100,000. You look at me like, what?
For what?
But if you and I create this budget together and I have line by line the itemized budget, mm-hmm. you can see how we arrived.
How you got to that number. Yeah. Right? No, that's great.
Yeah. So, you know, we can explore all the ideas on paper, right? And then we can figure out, okay, what's realistic for right now, right? Because it might be a $100,000 project, but then I can take it a step further. And this comes from my construction experience with managing projects as well, because I was the project manager too. Let's break this down in phases.
Phases, right.
Mm,
yeah, I also think that probably with your background, you're able to remind people how their vision might outpace their budget, right? Yes. Whereas I think other creatives they're also, like you said, so passionate. I've seen this happen where you tell them what the budget is, and then they're so big into the vision piece, and then they get you excited. And then you're like, we can't do that. Now
I'm disappointed with what we have for my budget. Right.
Right. Instead of like, what is the, as I always joke, like you don't ever tell, you got to give a creative a budget. If you just tell the creative, like, this is the vision, because not because they're trying to hustle you, because they're so passionate and they got big vision.
Yes.
They will come up. You told them it's 30,000, but you gave them the vision first. They got $100,000 vision. And now, like Demetra says, you're like, well, that's what we get. I don't want that. You know,
a whole lot of value engineering.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So and speaking of people at homes, everybody is at home trying to make their house nicer, right? Like we've been. What do we always say? We on day 283,000 of the pandemic.
Well, also, I think so many homies just figured out that we're going to be here for a minute. So at first, they didn't care about their space being comfortable or nice or warm, right? Because they thought they were going to be doing this for 2 weeks. So they're like, oh, I can work from my TV tray in my guest bedroom with no furniture, with my laptop. And now they're like, I need something different.
I need a real chair. So I want to talk about, like, have you seen your business increase during the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I know Demetra knows, but the listeners may not know, but we opened our brick and mortar location this year.
Yay!
So I've been out of our warehouse all this time and really didn't have a need for clients to come in, but we moved our offices into the showroom and it's been wonderful. And it's a very odd time, like you said, because back in November when I signed my lease, we had no thoughts of a pandemic, right? And so we've been doing some virtual consultations. I still do in-home consultations. You know, I'm masked up 6 feet anything I need to show you, I can email you or like in person. And we're kind of, we haven't missed a beat. And you have to be agile, right? You have to be willing to make adjustments, learn new things, learn new ways to communicate. And if you don't mind, I would like to give the listeners some tips, right? On kind of how they can. Okay,
no,
great.
No, that's what we want to hear. Yes. I was about to say, we need to get to the tipping.
Yes, yes, we need some tips. Paper and pen ready.
People want the song, right?
Yeah. So here's the thing. If you start with the shell, the foundation of the room, and you can impact any room in a big way if you look at the ceiling, the walls, and the floor. But you have to stuff off the floor first, right? So just pick things up off the floor because you want the space to feel breathable. You know, we right now, you can't see the room that I'm in, but I would be so ashamed of showing you this and saying what I'm about to say, but it's like, because we're doing a lot of organizing right now too, since we're here. And so you want the space to breathe. So let's think about the easiest way to make a change is to paint. So we don't just select a favorite color out of a fan deck. We look for a catalyst for color. Case in point, it could be this artwork that's behind me, right? So this room you can't see is a really soft blush pink. But I got that out of the artwork that's behind me, right?
Oh,
and, and then I've got a little bit of brown in this artwork behind me. I know listeners can't see, but I'll be very descriptive in my words. But I've got some brown in there, some navy blue, some white, and it's framed in a kind of a rustic frame. And so the browns are represented in my wood desk that's in front of me. And I've got, it's not a big room, but it's sort of a small room. So my table is a glass table because you can see through it, right? But getting back to the paint, you know, you select paint color either from the artwork that's in the room, from the drapery, from the fabric on your pillows, from the rug. Something has to be, you have to have a jumping off point before you start selecting color. Now, if you have don't have any color, but you still want to paint, you might want to lean toward a neutral color, right? So where do you find this neutral? You look at the undertones in your carpet. That kind of helps you know what type of neutral paint that would go on the wall. Any fixed elements like countertops, like you're not about to change your countertops. So make sure whatever neutral color that's going to go in that room jives well with the countertops. The tile around your fireplace, all of those things help you to be able to decide what's the best neutral color. Now, second, window treatments. Doesn't have to be the swags and cascades that your grandmother had. It could be just some simple tailored lined, preferably drapery line, meaning it has like a backing to it. And it's going to be white to the street, because if you have unlined drapery, you've got red drapes in your living room, and then you've got blue drapes in your dining room. All those colors are going to show.
I never thought about that. And your windows on the front of the house.
Yeah. That jacks up your curb appeal. So make sure that your drapery are lined. And they don't always have to be custom. And that's so blasphemous for me to say that, because I love a custom drape.
Right.
But she's like, not for my clients. This is for y'all.
No, this is for the homies.
Right.
You know, unless we work together, you can do it the other way.
Right. Then you can go and do that if you want your own. Right.
Just line them. But you can find them even on Amazon. They've got lined drapery panels. And if they're steamed, you can steam them yourself. You ain't got time for that. Take them to the dry cleaners. Have them do them, because you're going to so much appreciate that tailored, crisp look that's going to hang on your windows. It's going to give your room some life if you have some color in them, you know, right? Or it's going to give a calm, soothing feel. It's going to feel dressed. It's going to soften the lines of the window. If you got a lot of angles and hard lines, those draperies will do that for you. And then lighting. I cannot stress lighting enough, because remember, we're talking about the shell. We started with the walls.
Right.
With either paint, wall covering, window treatments, right? And lighting. So most people don't have adequate lighting in their room. It's either the fixture's too small. It's not the proper wattage in the bulbs. You may not even have overhead lighting, but you need to have lighting in every corner of the room, whether it be table lamps, floor lamps, wall sconces. And if you don't want wall sconces, or the wall lights are hardwired into the wall. But then they also have lights that give that same effect, but they can plug in instead. That's great if you have a side table, end table, nightstand, where you don't want your lamp to take up some of that surface area. Instead, you get a wall light that you can hang on the wall, plug it in, and it frees up the space on top of your nightstand, right?
But just I love these tips, because they're not just if you want to do a new room. these are things you can do to refresh your existing room.
And right? That's what people need right now, because to be honest, right now with trying to get new furniture in, the supply
you
chain.
You can't, because there's a back order for everything.
Exactly. Right. The people with money are all doing home improvement projects.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people too, especially the homies, they, like they do with most things, they get on social media, they see an influencer who is redoing a room and they've completely gutted the room and rechanged the whole thing. And they're like, I'm going to do that. And oftentimes I think what they don't understand is that she or he did not do it, mm-hmm. that it's an ad for Crate and Barrel or Home Depot or, you know, whatever. I'm always like, search and check, because like, did she source this herself? Do you know what I mean? Like, you like, are you going to be able to find these things? I love these tips because like Demetra said, it's like paint color. Do you recommend that people paint themselves, or do you recommend that they get someone to paint for them?
And when not someone, not your neighbors.
Right. Not, yeah. Not, can you paint my son's room real quick?
I mean, a professional.
Right. I mean, that. So I would say this, it depends on the type of house you live in. And I'll explain. Mm-hmm. So cottages, kind of bungalows, ranches, it's a little bit more forgivable, I think, to kind of have a paint job.
Yeah.
But if you got a two-story great room and you got molding and heavy, you know, if you got,
you need to cut it out.
A house, you need to hire somebody to come take care of this. I mean, professional help is always my preference, but I'm just saying, you know, because it's going to stand out. And the brand of paint, my preferred brand is Sherwin-Williams.
I can say I like that too.
That makes a difference too. Start with a plan. Everybody starts with a plan. I start with a plan. I don't start anybody's project without knowing every single piece that's going to go in that room before we actually start doing something. So that's where, when you're watching an influencer and they're taking you through a makeover, they started with a plan.
So get you a Pinterest board.
Yes, get a Pinterest board. Put that stuff on a PowerPoint, friends. Y'all know PowerPoint? Put on a PowerPoint, Pinterest board, whatever. And you look at that, all the stuff together on the board and see how that feels. Does that feel right? Right? Don't just duplicate what you see somebody else doing, because it's not going to look the same way in your house.
So right? I love that you said that, because again, I have zero vision. So I don't have any vision for things like this. So I was in my 20s, maybe early 30s, went to visit Demetra, who I said has great vision and she's very organized. And you know, so I decide like I need to organize my closet and get my house organized like Demetrius. So, but I don't have any vision. I did not have a plan other than it needs to look better and not look like an adult tomboy lives here, right? So I go to the Container Store and buy up like $300 worth of stuff, just random. Like, oh, I think I need that container. I think, and then
that looked like a bin she had. Looked like she had one of those.
Yeah. Right. Then I got home. You know, setting my closet, you know, so I'm ready to do. First thing I did was my shoes with the clear boxes. And then that was it. Like, I didn't know where to go from there. So I had all this stuff. So I realized now where I went wrong is I didn't have no plan. Right.
Exactly.
I didn't have a plan, right.
Have a plan.
So, yeah. So I love that. You gotta start with a plan and not just go and start purchasing things and thinking that once you put things up that they will connect and
right.
One another.
Is right? There any room, Erica, that you feel like in the pandemic that you would say like, okay, if you're at home and you bedroom. Don't love your space, bedroom, okay, bedroom. Start with your bedroom.
Yeah, because think about it, all of us need rest, right? And with everything that's on, and I know it's not just me, with all the things that are going on, so much stuff is on my mind, I need to be able to rest at night to get rejuvenated for the next day. So why not treat yourself to a restful retreat, your own bedroom.
A restful retreat, I like it.
Yeah, you get in there, follow the same rules, addressing the foundation of the room, right? Mm-hmm. The wall, ceilings, floors, I didn't get to that part, that's rugs, right? So you have your carpet clean, and if you have carpet, you can still lay a rug out. I would lay something that's a low pile, just so it won't feel like you have a lot of, but if you have allergies, probably not. But if you allergies aren't your problem, then yeah, I would do a low pile rug on top of the carpet and a big rug. Don't get a postage stamp of a rug. Like,
But I mean, think about this. This is like this is good stuff, right? Because she's saying like, get your carpet clean. You go buy a new comforter and paint, and that will give that room
and some lamps, and you might have a new feel.
Yeah, right. You're in a whole new sanctuary, right?
Yeah. Put a dimmer on your existing lights. You know, set a mood.
Set a mood. I'm a big believer in that. I've always traveled a great deal for work. Years ago, I learned that I really love the bed at the Westin. I just love the Heavenly Bed. It ended up being my favorite hotel. And finally, I thought, I'm going to get one of those for my house. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm like, I'm going to get so my mattress and stuff, but it was sort of to that vein. Like, I shouldn't enjoy sleeping in a hotel more than I had. Joy. And that's sort of my philosophy in life. You should not look forward to leaving home to experience serenity, to experience, you know, like the way a room makes you feel. I don't mean like, okay, sometimes you need to leave the people that are at your home, but like, that's a different episode. But like, to me, you don't want to leave home to feel better about your space and your surroundings. Home should be the place that makes you feel the most safe, the most serene, and have the best surroundings. So that's always been sort of my take towards my space, is that home is a sanctuary. And I think it's because I was single for so long, right? Just having been married 5 months yesterday. That's right. But I just knew I was going to be by myself in my home. So it needed to feel safe. Like I always used to say, sanctuary.
I have a lot of friends that they want to do something with their homes in interior wise. They don't know really where to start. I know we've talked about, you know, hey, start with the bedroom. You've given some amazing, you know, tips of like what I call Fisher Price tips of like where to get started, which is fantastic. Budget wise, right? I mean, I know my mom was, you know, real old school. She said, keep a running list of everything you want to do in your house by room. And then each check, do a little bit each month, you know, based on what, you know, what you can do. And then you look up and then you have a room that's complete, you know, because everybody doesn't have, you know, $30,000 set aside or.
And then people feel like they can't work with someone if they don't have that. And they can't.
Well, right.
That's what the homies need to know. Like, if you're below this budget, you should be doing yourself. If you're above this, you're probably ready for a professional. I think that would be, to Bimitra's point, sort of really helpful for people to understand when you're ready for that kind of someone like you, and when you need to be really on the do-it-yourself piece.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If you pay somebody to do an interior design consultation, we have a working consultation, 3 hours in home, right? We want you to help you prioritize the space. And we focus on really one, no more than two spaces at a time. Okay. And that's also the advice that I give people who have a smaller budget, or it doesn't matter what your budget is, get a whole room done first. And that really gives you the momentum to go to the next room. And it also kind of gives you some clues as to what the room next to it needs to look like, especially if they're open to one another, right? If you start with the budget and you spread the money out across the house, you feel like you don't have anything to show for it. You're like, well, where did my money?
So like one day at a time, one room at a time. Yeah.
Yeah, one room at a time, and start with the plan. So I love what your mother said, but you know, make sure you start with the plan. Then you can buy the things on the plan as it allows, right? So when we talk about $20,000, $30,000, I used to feel like, dang, that's a lot of money. You don't take all of that, but it kind of does. And I'll tell you why. Traditionally, we might go into a store and buy a bed. And buy a bed and nightstands. But we're not buying a bed, nightstands, lamps. We're not hanging drapes. We're not doing it all at one time, usually. We're not buying the console. We're not buying the TV. We're not buying the two chairs, because everybody's master bedroom is humongous now, right?
Right.
We're not buying all the artwork. So all those things add up when you're trying to do it all at once. So before then, I even say, you know, shop your home and see which things that you already own in your home that could work in this bedroom, for example, right? And those things, and I'm saying, use that as kind of your jumping off point before you start spending money on other things, right?
Because but with that you could shop the room, you know, and not actually go buy things, but put the dollars aside, and then when they've accumulated,
now you're ready to
hire someone like you, because now you have an idea of what that will cost, even if it isn't exactly your vision. you have a feel for what that will cost. And then now you're ready. So that's a good way to think about it.
Yeah. And so the consultation, if somebody has, like Demetria has, she had a vision, right? So sitting down talking with someone like me or any other designer, they could show them how to execute it. And she'd be like, "Woo, let's go." That's more of a design enthusiast. Now for Demetria, who's like, I got to do it for me plan, not DIY, but I want you to do it for me. What does it take to, then that we would sit down and talk about what it would take to do whatever. But in the interim, my grandfather used to always tell me, people don't want to just know what you can't do. They want to know what you can do. Right. Mm. So you're not going to pay me to come to your house for me to tell you.
And tell you you don't have enough. Right.
Yeah. I'm telling you what it's going to take to meet your expectation. And in the interim, until we get there, here are some things that you can do right now.
I like that. And I definitely think that. And, you know, although I am an enthusiast, even if I'm doing something small, I usually want at least a consultation. I'll pay for a consultation to help me like get the Pinterest board and think about sourcing stuff and just sort of ideas. It doesn't have to be like, we're going to go get this mirror, but like, we might want a octagon mirror here, or I would like that kind of like input. And then I usually can go and kind of find myself and do my thing. But even that, I need help with like scale. Cause I have one friend, she has a gorgeous home, but every time I go in there, I'm like, if she don't look like she have dollhouse furniture in this big old house, like it's never, she is like you said, those floor to ceiling. And she has literally like an antique couch. It's gorgeous, but it the room swallows the whole couch up. And I'm literally like, you need to talk to somebody because like, it's not scale right. I don't know what that means, but I just know this, so you need a bigger couch. Like, this is not right.
I always joke with my wife. I'm like, if I think your home needs help, it's way bad. Cause I don't even know what I'm looking for, where I'm like, oh wow, like I don't know, this room is off, something's off, but I don't know anything about spacing and whatnot. But you know, I think though, to Demetria's point and to your point, there's a lot that can be done with little, but people have to, you know, make a plan. I mean, that's the whole thing. You can't get overwhelmed by like, okay, I've got this, you know, 4-bedroom house I want to do. Like, okay, I want to do my bedroom, and right now I can't afford to buy $20,000 worth of new furniture, but I can go get a new comforter. I can pay someone to come in and paint. I can add some lamps and like, you know, give it a new feel. We all need peace and comfort, yes, especially the homies of color right now during this very, very trying time, right? So you, some place in your house has got to be a sanctuary, I think.
Yeah. I love that. Talk a little bit about, Erica, when people, I feel like, haven't done the base work is what I would call it. Like you're not organized, right? Like I brought a woman in to do my closet system because I just got married and I didn't see how he was going to have any space in the closet. And I wanted him to have space in the closet, but I knew that I was like, I just, I don't know where your stuff would go, right? I just don't know where it might go. And I didn't want him to be the person living out of the guest closet down the room. That didn't seem like that would be right. And so when she came and she had given me a quote, you know, this is what I do to, you know, do a master closet. She was like an organizer. But then when she got there, she was like, oh, she was literally like, I can take off like $400 because you don't need to declutter. And I had never heard of that. I was like, what's that? She's like, well, most people, they call for the closet, but the closet needs to be decluttered before I can organize it. Mm-hmm. Like you need to pull out the clothes you haven't worn since you've crossed Delta in 1995. You need to stop pretending like you know that you wear size 10. Right. Yeah, I'm gonna get back in these jeans, and you're like, or you know, like you still got boots, you know, like you just need to declutter. She's like, so I usually have to do what she calls it, like a clutter buster first, and then I can start work. But you don't, I can see your stuff, I can see what you've got, we can start working. And I saw, do you ever experience that where someone is thinking they're ready to start, but they haven't even like decluttered or figured out what they do own?
I like to see their house in a cluttered fashion, because then I need, then it helps me to know
what they are.
That is what type of organization systems they could use. And I can see how they use the room. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
And it gives me clues to, like, it's like a detective, you know, house detective. And people are like, oh, you know, I feel so embarrassed. I'm like, no, don't.
No, because we need to know how you actually live so we can set it up to accommodate that. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. The only thing that I would ask them to do is they declutter themselves. I'm not an organizer, so I don't do that part. But I will say, are there any pieces that need to be moved or donated or sold to someone else? And I'll have my movers take them to that person. You know what I mean? I'll get rid of those pieces out of the house. But no, I like the clutter because it helps me to know how you actually live. Yeah, how you live. Yeah.
Exactly. And does that help you figure out how to set the space up for them?
Well, I might end up moving that purpose. I'll say, okay, looks like you work a lot in your bedroom. Let's find somewhere else to work, you know, and I'll look through the.
Oh, so you're not like, let's put a desk in here. I thought you were going to be like, and so let's get you a desk area. You're like, no, you're going to need to work somewhere else.
Well, I also think that's a great point, right? Because you can see, like, you've got 15 books in your bedroom, all over your bedroom. Like, you need a bookshelf somewhere in this house. So I can see where the clutter could help with the bit.
In your room, but I'm not going to set you up in an office. You know, I'm not going, unless there's no other space. In lieu of a nightstand or a bachelor's chest, I'll give you a writing desk, something that you can't overcrowd. You know, what if I'm not putting a file cabinet in here?
This is your bedroom.
Yeah.
Like you said, I want you to have a space to relax.
No printer in here, no file cabinet. You know, you can have a wireless printer these days, right? Somewhere else outside the bedroom, but I'll let you
right.
Your laptop. Listen at me talking about what I'm gonna let you do in your bedroom.
But I love it because I was just thinking that would be me. She'd be like, this, you got too many purposes.
It's an office or bedroom.
It's not a multi-purpose room. This is your bedroom.
Well, this has been so helpful, especially the way you broke down from like just base units of like paint, you know, what you call it, ceiling, floors, walls. I'm going to start thinking about that.
The shell of the room.
Also helping people be more realistic about when you're ready. Because I feel like an interior decorator is almost like buying a luxury car. Like you may not just not be ready for this yet. Like there are things you could. And that's okay, right? Because like Demetri said, you can strive for it, you can save for it, you can aspire to it. But let's be honest, as my husband would say, let's be honest. If you want to do this, you have to be this tall to ride this ride. Like you got, there's just the way it works.
You gotta be this tall to ride
this ride. Is there any other kind of thing you feel like you didn't get a chance to share that you want to share as, you know, as a like a last imparting wisdom to the homies?
Yeah, so if you don't remember anything else, know that you start anything and everything with a plan. It all starts, because we can get very impatient, myself included, and just want something done. Don't want you to waste your money. Start with a plan. Start with one room at a time, okay? And if you're not ready to hire a full-service interior designer, at least get a consultation. Know what deliverables you're going to receive during that consultation before they leave your house. They don't need to come to your house to just tell you about themselves. You can read about them hopefully online or the social
channel.
Hello,
somebody.
You need some takeaways, right? So find out if you're going to get some takeaways. If you can't find nobody, call me. Call me, homie. I got you.
That's right. Even if you can find somebody, call me.
Still call me. That's right. Still call Erica.
The last thing that I want to say is, even after you've had professional help, and if it felt right when they were telling you about it, trust the process. Like, trust them. Even a design enthusiast who is starting to execute a plan may feel a little intimidated and stop in the middle of the plan because they just don't see it coming together. Well, you have to continue with it. It's like dressing, like getting dressed, right? You might put on a pair of pants and the top, you put this jacket on. But before you did all of that, you just had the pants on. And before you just had the top on, you just really couldn't see the whole outfit come together until you finished it, right? Because it's like things in context. And so if you're doing it yourself, you have to trust the process and continue with the plan. Especially if you paid for a plan. Like I tell people, don't hire me to come to your house. And if you're not going to do the work, then don't waste your money. Because it's really not in my best interest that I do that. I mean, I'll get paid, but I really care more about you getting this house that you wanted, this look that you want. That's what I care about. And if you're not going to do it, then don't waste your time.
I want to say this. I didn't say this at the top of the episode, but not only have I followed you, but I have also followed some of the people that you have mentored. And like, you know, I love that about you, that you have shared your wisdom with up and coming people. And I've seen them now like blossom, and like Justin has his own thing now. Like, he's so fabulous. And I remember when he was like your assistant. And so I love, just from our, you know, sort of our ministry, and what we love is to see people kind of pouring back and helping the next,
having, you know, a coaching tree.
Yes, and helping the next young person come along and follow their dreams. So is
tell the homies where they can follow you, where they can find you. Okay. On social, your social handles, let the homies know where they can find you.
I'm on all social channels. So that's Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter. My handle is at Mrs. Erica Ward, MrsErikaWard.
Erica with a K.
There's some creative ways to spell Erica, so I had to go on and break it down for you.
Yeah.
My website is just my name, ericaward.com. And I've been doing this long enough now, you can just Google me. You can spell my name wrong and still get me.
So. And you can find a lot of your stuff on Pinterest too.
Yeah. You said, yeah, she was saying that. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, so it was fantastic. I can't wait for the homies to tell us and show us the pictures of the tips that they've used. And you have to let us know if you get some consultations from the homies as a result of this. But we're really excited because particularly personal space is so important, and you deserve to spend money on where you live and having that peace. And really glad that you were able to share.
Invest in yourself, homie. Yes. All right, thank you, and until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin, get you another homie.